Good morning. Good morning. Today is, a little microphone issue here. The arm. There we go. Today is Thursday, March the 7th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff, man who knows all about little, Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Or is it little about all?
That is pretty much it.
Okay.
Yes, little
about
all.
I got the cue cards backwards.
That's it.
We got lots of stuff to talk about, but before we do that, our why do we say that? Are you ready?
I'm ready. What is it today?
Now, I could say...
I should say, why is it today?
Okay. How about... No, I won't. That's just too easy. Where did the word decide come from?
Lay it on me.
Okay. The term comes from Latin. Decide with an R-E at the end of it. I've never been to a Latin mass, let alone be able to understand Latin.
That's right.
So I'm just going to go... Meaning to cut away. And one method of arriving at a decision is by cutting away and eliminating all but the one possibility. By cutting away all that's worthless. That's kind of like Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
Are you a Sherlock Holmes guy at all?
I'm not.
So what are the options?
Okay.
Let's throw away all that are not possible.
Yeah.
And then not likely. And pretty soon you're going to end up with probably what was.
Nice.
You can pass that on.
Decide.
You can pass that on to your detective guys.
I will.
Yeah. Well, you've been keeping out of trouble the last little bit, huh?
Well,
trying to save those in trouble.
Exactly. So that has been the theme of the last couple weeks with the floods here and all the water we've been having, all the water emergencies, slides, and those kind of things, as well as our missing girls over the last weekend. So it's been quite a busy couple weeks.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too sensitive than the average bear, but when they start saying Northern California instead of Humboldt.
Yes.
It's like, you know, guys, when you say Fresno is Northern Humboldt, I take exception. When you say San Francisco is Northern Humboldt, I get a little more understanding. You know, the fact that two girls were found in Richardson's Grove, which nobody knows where it is outside of this area,
right?
North of Richardson's Grove. And they don't even say State Park.
Right.
I get a little excited about the media
and
how things are treated. With this particular one, was this a better interaction than it was with the Murder Mountain folks and some of the past interactions?
Oh yeah. I mean, the media picked up on the story, and it went national because, I mean, those girls were definitely just so cute, and everyone kind of identified with if it was my daughter, what would I do? And so it was... it was a stressful 44 hours, that's for sure. And I think that's when we asked for help, that's when everyone just jumped in. And from the beginning, I mean, we owe a lot of thank yous out there. You know, from the very beginning, it was Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue, and they were there throughout the whole time.
And who are they?
Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue is essentially like a volunteer fire department, but they're set up to do search and rescues, technical rescues, which is, you know, people that are over the banks, stuck in the Lost Coast over a cliff, and so they do ropes and rappelling and those kind of things.
So rope rescues. Kind of like the Coasties without the helicopter?
Kind of. But they are pretty much the elite team in the county for technical rescue. And, I mean, to give you a point, we had that hiker up in Patrick's Point a couple months back that fell into a crevice. It was Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue that went down, you know, went up to Patrick's Point to assist with that rescue or that recovery.
And these folks are all volunteers?
These are all volunteers, and it's just absolutely amazing because they are dedicated and they I'm not sure how often they train, but they have outstanding membership and again, whenever we ask for help, they are there. And you know, they're led by Kai Ostro and Diana Totten and some of the other people there in Southern Humboldt. And this is just a collateral assignment. They all have other jobs. They all have other duties. And these are normal people. But then once we ask for help, they jump into it. So it's pretty pretty spectacular.
I'm stunned. No, you can't give them a couple bucks for, like, gear?
I know. That's
food
that's
or
absolutely.
Transportation cost or something to help offset the...
I agree. And so we're looking at that, looking at through Measure Z, looking at through other funding sources. You know, Bimbo Inn, John Porter, just gave them $25,000 to build a new building. You know? I mean, John, we know John Porter is just so generous. But it's that kind of thing that in the county... you know, people donating money is what keeps this this alive. And people just do it because they want to help their neighbor. We saw so much outpouring of community support down in Southern Humboldt. It was refreshing to see everyone come together and try and help and become a community again. You know, and Southern Humboldt's pretty tight-knit, you know, and so if you're a local down there, you help each other out. But they allowed us to also help them when necessary and in this event. So
and it that's a little rarer than normal?
It is rare. I mean, because, I mean, trust has to be built up. And so we're building that trust because, you know, some people move down there to get away from government, to get away from other people. They want to just be left alone. And so when we come and interject and we want to help, we have to have that trust built up. And so that's why it's essential that we have that close relationship with Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue, with some of the, you know, businesses down there and support groups and that kind of thing to make sure that we are able to, you know, create some inroads in some of these places.
Could that trust be a byproduct of the code enforcement?
Of the code enforcement of the past or recent?
The actions that you guys have done in the last year plus, playing by the books, not coming through and, you know, ripping everything up or, you know, that kind of, I mean, is that part of that process?
I mean, there's, maybe with some people down there, you know, again, sheriff's office isn't code enforcement, but, you know, is a part of the county. Yeah, but as far as illegal marijuana production and people growing, yeah, we're down there and we're taking off.
Your substation having the response in the neighborhood.
Sure.
I mean, all that stuff I would think would kind of at least put you to neutral instead of a negative.
For sure. But, you know, there's always people that just, again, want to be left alone. They want to take care of the problems. They don't call 911 when there's an issue. They take care of themselves. And so that's actually, you know, they call the technical rescue first in this circumstance. They had their lost children. They wanted to call technical rescue. They knew these people. They wanted immediate help. And the technical rescue is the one that said, hey, listen, you need to call 911 because the sheriff's office is responsible for all search and rescue in the county. And so us working together is you know, really essential, and that's and to see it all come together in the end was pretty nice.
The numbers shared were a couple hundred people. Is that
270 people on Sunday were out searching, and that's just the people that were logged. There were other people that were out there helping the family, so probably over 300 people were searching for these girls on Sunday. Pretty amazing.
Just wandered off the property.
They did. They went for a hike, and they got lost.
Not that we've ever done that.
Nope.
I think it's getting lost part. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Dilnort counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Dilnort and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta with Billy Hansel. What were the lessons learned from this one? It would seem to me like there's the family, obviously.
Right.
The girls, obviously. The community, maybe a little bit. And throughout the county and throughout the region, people getting disoriented and lost in the woods is not that rare a thing for our area. Being found alive, much more so.
Yeah. So there's a lot of lessons learned in this kind of event where we have multi-agency response over the course of, you know, basically 48 hours and coordinating this effort. There were things that went good. There were things that went wrong. And so we have an after action report coming that we will be pulling together all this information. We're asking information from everyone that was involved so we can do better next time. Because in a multi-agency response like this, we use the incident command system, and so this is all a standardized system, the nation adopted it several years after Katrina, the National Incident Management System. So it's a way for us to manage these huge emergencies, And the fire service has this down. So Cal Fire, Humboldt Bay Fire, they use this quite often in, just in their normal operations. So actually we brought, you know, Humboldt Bay Fire. So Sean Robertson came in. Chris Emmons came into our EOC on Saturday. They helped us establish our EOC. And then we utilized a lot of fire support down in our command post down in Benbow. And so it was... It was essential. It was a great to see all this come together, but it is a lot to manage. You have to have a lot of resources to manage, you know, 300 plus volunteers, and to care, feed, house, register, make sure you deploy safely, and then make sure we find the girls. So
300 volunteers. How many professionals? Or was that enveloped in that number?
Yeah, so it is enveloped in that number. So we had several agencies. So we, how this whole thing works is that we live in the state is broken up in different regions for mutual aid. So Office of Emergency Services through California, Cal OES, has us in Region 2, which stretches from Del Norte all the way down through the Bay Area. Okay, so it's all on the coast. So this is our region. So when we need mutual aid for this specific purpose, we ask for a specific request for these kind of search teams, ground pounders, to come out and try to help us with the search and rescue.
So you're getting them from Mendocino, not from Shasta.
That's right. So we're getting those initial. So we had initially, we pushed the big red button, called Cal OES. It gets answered in Alameda. That's our answer point. They then push it out saying, Humboldt County needs search teams for two lost girls. You know, please respond. You know, we need at least 10 search teams of this type, and this is the kind of equipment you need, this type of terrain you're going to be experiencing. And so we had initial response from Sonoma, Mendocino, Lake, Del Norte County. Immediately that next morning, we had those resources there on the mountain. I mean, it was within 12 hours, people were there. Part of that crew was paid staff by the sheriff's offices of those jurisdictions. Part of those were volunteers, a part of their sheriff's posse or sheriff's search and rescue team. So essentially the same kind of thing as Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue, just attached to the sheriff's office. And so they responded out there and they started their search. When we knew it was going to go into that, you know, that third, fourth operating period where it's going to be two nights there, you know, we called out again, we need more support. And then it went out to all of the Bay Area. So we had teams there from Santa Clara, Contra Costa, Alameda, Placer, Solano County. Placer came up. El Dorado came up. So we had all these search teams coming up there. And these are some of the best searchers in Northern California come and converge on our county to assist us. And with only, you know, they had a promise that we would house and feed them, you know, that these are all volunteers. And so they came up here and we deployed out this massive team, you know, to search this hillside on Sunday morning.
In a weird way, that must have been cool.
It was great to see the community. It was great to see the community. But it, not only that, you know, all these outside agencies, but all of our own agencies come together here in the county. So I received tons of support from all the local police departments. All the local police departments send people, so California Highway Patrol, Cal Fire, and all the volunteer fire departments from Southern Humboldt, you know, converged on it to help us. I mean, I didn't have to ask twice. They came together. And so this was one of the first opportunities, too, because we didn't know where the girls were, and we didn't know if this was, you know, a criminal behavior.
The abduction
aspect. Yeah. We had to look at both angles. So we called out the major crimes investigative team, which is basically the top investigators from our county, come together, and they start our child abduction protocol. And so they were following that playbook, led by Sergeant Freeze of our detective bureau. And they started that route. Until we could prove otherwise, we had to continue down that road.
There was also some references in there, Billy, about the fact these girls had some, not experience out in the woods, because, you know, that's where they grow up. I mean, they're going to have that.
Right.
But that they're the 4-H, FFA, campfire.
Yeah.
That there was some of that that often is seen as kind of nice little cutesy over on the side.
Right.
Kind of helped out, too.
Oh, it helped out tremendously. These girls, you know, were involved in Miranda 4-H, and a part of their curriculum is wilderness survival. You know, this club, you know, is among Southern Humboldt, and people are exposed to, you know, living out in the wilderness. And so that's part of their curriculum. And also Diana Totten, part of that Southern Humboldt Technical Rescue. She teaches that class, and so she's able to come there, and she has a camp in the summertime, but she's taught these girls how to survive and basic survival skills, and it was pretty amazing how they incorporated that through this 44 hours.
So I would think not only did she know that she knew that they knew, she knew what they knew and how they knew it, so I'm sure that helped out a little bit.
It did, absolutely.
Very cool stuff. See, every once in a while we have good news here.
We do. Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Then we'll move into floods when we come back. KINS News and Information Times 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by REDEC, by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and CDH Painting. Billy, looking at the rescue and the floods, and
yeah.
Both were emergency response scenarios. One not quite so much of a surprise as the other certainly was.
Yeah.
Commonalities between the two.
Commonalities were that we rely on our volunteer fire departments, you know, like in Ferndale, and also our sheriff's posse. So Rick Nicholson in Ferndale responded with the fan boat that we had. We had pre-staged that over in Ferndale, and so he responded to some of the emergencies. One, we had stranded cows, and we had to corral some cows back in the barn, and we used the fan boat. And Rick is part of our posse, and he's the one that brought it out. And with our livestock deputy, we were able to corral these cows. And then he was also able to respond, you know, with our posse to the drowning. So, yeah, a fan boat, if you don't know, is a boat, flat bottom, that has a big old fan on the back, kind of like what you'd see in the swamps of Mississippi.
Oh, so when you're going out gator hunting?
Exactly.
In Humboldt County, you got...
It's, you know, there's not a prop in there. It's just a very shallow boat.
So what is that used for during the normal time?
So it's not.
Is this purchased specifically for that?
This is it. This is what it's used for. You know, I mean, you can go into the swamps and that kind of stuff.
You could have like an overflow of a foot and a half, and you're able to
absolutely
buzz out.
Operate a boat. Yep, right there. Okay. So, yeah, cool. It's really, really essential. We don't get to use it very much, but in these kind of circumstances, it was, you know, it performed beautifully. So, those kind of things. So
you had cow rescue.
We had cow rescue and then using, you know, all those resources to assist with the family that was trying to rescue the father that drowned out in Ferndale, and so to get them off the tractor and everything. So it was so it's those kind of things that, you know, we need to have a good relationship with our volunteer fire departments, and then, you know, utilize them. I mean, they are underappreciated for sure, you know, through our county, because people just, you know, if they get in a traffic accident, you need a rescue, you call 911, and these guys come out. And these guys, most of them, if you're outside of Arcata and Eureka and Fortuna, they're not getting paid. And so they're just doing it because they're part of the volunteer fire department, part of the community. So
they have the calling.
Yeah, and so it's pretty amazing. I just some of these people have that passion, and I really appreciate the fact that they're out there and doing this.
Now, one thing with the floods, and in my understanding, that most of the floods, at least in Humboldt County, were Eel River Valley focused. It wasn't the Klamath or some of the other areas that sometimes will flood. So you were able to kind of concentrate and focus things there. How bad did it get? How bad were you concerned that it might get if there was another inch and a half of rain?
Yeah, so our big concerns, so the areas that flooded were the lower Mad River. So that had some good inundation there in the Arcata Bottoms. And then also Fern Bridge, we also had in Carlotta, Highway 36 in the Van Dusen, had some localized flooding, Grizzly Creek, and then up near Dinsmore. So
Dinsmore, really?
Dinsmore had some flooding, on the east end towards the trailer park, had some flooding over there. So these are the areas that that we were watching anyway. And
those are all historically where it starts to happen.
Exactly. When it does yes, happen. Yeah. Absolutely. So we're able to, especially in Ferndale, we were able to send out an alert saying, listen, these areas are going to get flooded. We actually have really good data working with the National Weather Service. They were spot on. You know, sometimes people say, well, sometimes they overestimate. Sometimes, you know, they give us, you know, these alerts and they don't really happen. Well, in this circumstance, they were spot on. They said it was going to get to 25 feet. It got to 25 feet. It flooded the roads in Ferndale. It created areas that had 6 feet of water in the Ferndale bottoms.
So one of the challenges, I think, for new folks, as well as some of us not so new, you got warning stage, you got flood stage, and then you got when it flooding. Looks like it's really flooding.
Right.
And the distinction between the three, you know, warning stage, yeah, okay, fine, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, kind of pay attention, but if it's not your neighborhood, okay, fine.
Right.
Flood stage, well, you know, we can still get out there. That's no problem. Right. You just don't have a lot of wiggle room. And then when it's over the roadway,
that's right.
Oh, okay, now that's I right. understand.
The idea behind this, we want to provide people information so they can properly prepare for their day, whether it's, you know, are they going to pick their kids up early from school? Are they going to come home early? We don't want them to be impacted by the potential flooding. The people that are in Ferndale, they realize 211 floods. They're going to take the back way around through Riadel, you know, those kind of things. So, but we want to prepare. The ranchers, obviously they know. They're paying attention to the weather. They're moving their cows out, you know, 3 or 4 days before. But we want to provide them that information. The one thing that we can't get is complacent when it comes to flooding and flooding across roadways. People are used to, you know, maybe in a heavy rainstorm, you know, rolling across, you know, a couple inches of water. They see it that way. But when you know that there's localized flooding, do not drive in flooded roadways. You know, we're lucky we only had a couple people get their car stuck. But, you know, there's some areas that people get swept away because they start driving through, you know, these flooded creeks and streams, and then they get swept away. And so you don't want to be a part of the emergency. So
well, one of the things that Tom Mattson with County Public Works has talked about is, okay, the road may be there, but you don't know what isn't there, like the underneath side of the asphalt.
True.
You know, if that's gone, you got your surface, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to drive over it necessarily.
Right.
Or that it's in the same condition that it was before. So, you know, that type of stuff. And yeah. I would imagine after you get to about 6-7 inches and it's muddy, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that kind of what your rule of thumb is?
Yeah.
If you can't see the pavement?
Yes, exactly. And these kind of events, if you can't see the pavement, do not drive through it because it really, we don't know. And we've seen a lot of culverts wash out as well throughout the county. We see, you know, roadways just kind of wash out, slides, slip outs, those kind of things. And so you don't want to jeopardize, you know, your precious cargo in the car because you don't want to take an alternate route.
Yeah, for what?
For
10
what?
Minutes?
Exactly. It's not worth it. And so it brings up an important point that you know, being prepared doesn't happen in the midst of a storm. So you want to make sure that you have everything you need to survive in your car necessarily. Have a little survival kit there. But also looking at your roads is if you drive a county road and you see a culvert's blocked or a culvert's not running water, please call Public Works. Let us know. They can unblock that before it becomes an emergency.
Is that a Public Works call? Or is that a 911 call?
Does it
matter?
I think what we want to do is if the road's not washed out yet, then it's a Public Works call. If it impacts the roads where it's not passable, then it's 911. We need to get, you know, emergency road crews out there, and the quickest way is 911. So,
but either way, let somebody know.
Yes, for sure.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Billy, the emotional part, whether it's with floods, rescue, search and rescue, fire, all that kind of stuff. You'd mentioned about the preparedness. I would imagine mentally being prepared is as much as the physically being prepared. How do you suggest on that? It's not just having bottles of water, you know, the earthquake preparedness kit.
Right.
It's more than that.
That's right.
How do you get that more than that?
Yeah. So we really push the emotional survival of law enforcement. It's a book that we issue to all of our staff, and it's basically just essentially how to survive in this culture, because we don't get to see the happy endings that we saw this weekend. Most of the time, we are there, you know, for the tragedies. We are there to, you know, I guess I've told it before, just we're there on people's worst day every day, okay? And so to relive that ourselves is terrible. And then we bring a lot of that stuff home. So this book's talked about unpacking that, talks, and it also discusses...
Like a worry tree kind of thing out in the front yard? Hang your worries on the tree before you go inside.
Well, that, but also being able to talk to your loved ones about your job, and then for your loved ones to respect, there's certain things that, you know, are going to happen that it takes time to talk about and to give space. And so there's a lot of good things. We want to prepare our people for this job because it is highly stressful. We also overall wellness. Okay. And the county and the sheriff's office is really big on this, is taking yourself and exercising, do a wellness program, whether it's, you know, yoga, whether it's massages, whatever it may be, okay? I'm not talking about the NFL massages, okay? I'm talking about,
you know,
de-stressing.
Every show there's a magical
there
moment.
Is.
We just passed it.
I'm talking about doing things to de-stress your life, because, again, we have those times where, you know, we get totally stressed out, and it is a stressful job. And so
do you learn,
exercising,
or do you learn how to cope?
You learn how to cope. A lot of times people just, you know, pack it away and don't deal with it. That's how it is in the past, and some people just still deal with it that way. So it's a tough job. But you know, this weekend we had our two rescuers, Delbert and Abram. You know, they're Piercy Fire, and so I'm sure they've gone through the ugly side
of
things, where it's like they've seen tragedy, now they're seeing this great success and the emotional roller coaster of that, and then dealing with that too. It's like, what if they went right instead of left, you know? And you know, they could have missed the girls. And so there's a lot of things that you talk about. So it's just it's pretty amazing.
Do you have a celebration party afterwards?
We have a lot of high fives and a lot of hugs and those kind of things. But our celebration party is that after action, where we look at the pros and cons, what happens, and those kind of things. And but yeah, those are the kind of things.
Do you bring in Rex's barbecue wagon for that one?
No, we don't. But I'm sure he would offer it, though.
Might be something.
Big
yeah,
supporter.
Particularly when there's a win like that.
Yes, know? For sure.
Yeah, yeah, nice to have a supervisor who's on your side, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's
or
nice.
Supervisors.
There are.
Sorry,
they are.
Estelle.
They love the sheriff's office.
And everybody else.
They love the sheriff's office.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you, Brian.
All righty.
All right,
see everybody tomorrow.